Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, you stayed. That's a good sign. There's food. Is that why? I just need to know. Amen. Good stuff. So, we're in 1 Samuel 25. These are building lessons. Good news, bad news. Good news is the best messages are tomorrow. Hands down, my favorite message is tomorrow. But you're already here, so you get this one. Okay? And these are building, and here's what it is. I found out that love, the foundation of love, and treating one another with love is so essential. And we've just got to get that down pat. You'll see that thread even in the next couple lessons. So we deal with that a lot, that we're not as loving as we need to be. The second one, which we're going to talk about now, is about every problem that walks into my office, every counseling session I have. There's a couple roots of that. And one of the roots is this: bad communication. Bad communication. We don't communicate as good as we ought to. Let me just help you with this. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about communication because I'm convinced you could talk a lot and still not be a good communicator. Are you aware of that? Women talk about 25,000 words a day. That doesn't make you a good communicator. It means you talk a lot. Men talk about 10,000 words a day. That's why when he comes home, you go, "How was your day?" He says, "Yeah, there you go. That's one. He's got three more, maybe two." You know, and you're like, "Well, my day was," you know, you go on. Why? It's just the way it is. You know, so communication. So we're like, "Well, he's a horrible communicator," and he might be. And she's good because she talks a lot. Not necessarily. There's some key components to communication, and they help with every relationship we have. I mean, every single relationship. My mom, every year, made pies for Thanksgiving. So they'd come over, she'd make pies, a wonderful thing. Every year, she brought a chocolate pie for my boys. I mean, every single year. Came in and got the pies, pumpkin pie for me, or an apple pie, and a chocolate pie for my boys. Loved it. And she brought it in one year after over a decade, maybe 15 years, no exaggeration. And one of my boys says, "I don't even like chocolate pie." And I went, "Excuse me?" And I'm like, whoa, what'd you say? "We don't like chocolate pie, Dad. We've never eaten it one time. It always disappears. Well, someone else likes it." I'm like, "Why didn't you say something?" Here's what they said: "We didn't want to offend Grandma." So me, being who I am, I went to Grandma. And I said, "Hey, are you aware of the boys don't like chocolate pie?" You know, and here's her response: "Oh, seriously? Well, why didn't they say something? I'll make them whatever they want." So I went back to them. "Hey, guess what? You've been missing out for years, and it's your fault." And all you had to do is say, "I like this pie, or I like that pie." I mean, Grandma would have made you any pie you wanted, but you were so afraid to say something, you were stuck with chocolate pie for the rest of your life. You know, and I think about that, and our lack of communication. Hey, I'm convinced communication is an art form. No, seriously. Sure, there's some people that communicate better and easier. I communicate a lot. It's my job. It's what I do. I have to learn how to talk to people, communicate with people. But that's rare. That's rare. The fact of the matter is, you're not born with it. There's not a lot of classes. You don't go to high school and they go, "Let me teach you how to communicate." You know, or college, I mean, you don't normally get that unless you take debate or something like that. It's just not a normal thing. So what I'm noticing in relationships in life, people that may get the principle of love down still struggle a lot because we don't communicate well. You know what would help our families, our marriages, our relationship with our kids and our church would be this: we got to learn to talk better. We have to learn to communicate better. Communication is such a key. And after we do this lesson, let me help you. Nobody's walking out better. Don't look at your husband going, "Did you get that? Did you get that? Did you?" Yeah, he probably did, but it's going to take like years before it really comes into play. Seriously, it's not like a light switch is going to come on. But hopefully you'll begin the process of saying, "Hey, we can fix a whole lot of things if we would do a simple thing." It's called talking. Talking very specifically. I'm going to give you really about four principles. There's five, but the first one you've already seen. So it is what I always begin it with. We're going to have that here in just a minute. But we're actually going to be in 1 Samuel 25. You want to write that down. 1 Samuel chapter 25 for the illustration. I'm going to give you several other verses to write down as we go that you'll put along the tags there that will help you out from the book of Proverbs. But I like 1 Samuel 25. I want to begin there and kind of give you the story of David and Abigail. Beautiful story. In 1 Samuel 25, we won't read all of it, but I want to give you the basis here. David's men have just come to Nabal. There was a custom there that they had, and they would do what's called a sheep shearing. We don't do a lot of that here today or that custom, but what would happen is any of the neighbors would come during that time, and they would give you some of the sheep at that time. So to put it in the most basic form without getting into that message, that was custom. I mean, everybody did that. Well, David's men were hiding out from Saul, and they're hiding in the forest around there. So whenever a sheep would run away, instead of stealing it and taking it, they'd return it. They were very good to Nabal and his men. Matter of fact, when it came to the shearing time, they even said that. Oh, yeah, these are great guys. Nabal knew who they were, but he's a very stingy man. He's a very mean man. And when it came to that time, David sent some men to get what was rightfully theirs according to custom. And instead, they got disrespected big time. They go back to tell David, and the other servants and people there are going, oh, we're in trouble. I mean, this is like a major man disrespect. Okay, ladies may not get it. Okay, but the men did. And they're like, we're in trouble. They just disrespected David and about 600 mighty men who are in the forest. This is not going to go over well when they get back. So they run to Abigail. And they don't go to Nabal because he's mean. He's mean. He won't listen. So they run to Abigail. And the servant says, hey, I don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to have to do something, because if not, something bad's going to happen. She hears this, and this is what she does. The servant comes to her in verse 17, explains that to her. In verse 18, then Abigail made haste, took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed. 1 Samuel 25:18. And 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she ran into her servants, go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert on the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow had in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, for he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain unto him by the morning light, any that pisses against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, her husband. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withheld thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. She goes on to say, accept this, forgive me in verse 28. And then she praises him for his great work. It's good stuff. So we're going to stop right there. So that's the context of this story. And she's getting ready to communicate. And man, it's a beautiful story. I'll help you real quick. She runs in. She bows down. If you continue reading, I mean, she is great. Man, you are the next king. God's hands upon you. You don't want to do this. This is going to be a black mark. You're going to kill innocent people, which is my family, who had nothing to do with this. And he listens. You get down to verse 31, 32, 33. He even tells her, hey, had you not come, every male dies. That was the kind of every male is going to die. For what dad, Nabal, his foolishness, he says, the consequences will fall upon everybody. David turns around and leaves that day. That's a beautiful story. Matter of fact, she goes back home and she does finally tell Nabal, but he's drunk that night. Yeah, he's drunk. She goes, I'm going to wait till the morning. Gets up in the morning. She tells him, I just gave all this stuff away. You know, he was mad. A few days later, he has a heart attack and dies. Now we have to stop right there. Before we get too far, because communication is important, some of you women are saying, so there's a chance. That's not what the story means. Okay, so if I could just go back, I guess it's a mean husband. No. But God does. As a matter of fact, eventually David calls for her and they get married. It's a long story. But what I want you to see here is a very critical part. In this critical part, as she's getting ready to go, I'm telling you, this story changes if she doesn't approach him the right way. If she doesn't go and she doesn't communicate appropriately. Can you imagine if she shows up mad? She jumps off, starts cursing and cussing at David. There's 600 men with swords riding right through her and right past her. Okay, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to stop a man that way. They're like, you're going to challenge me? Are you kidding me? You know, I'm not listening to you. And off she goes. But because she bowed, humbled herself, brought all these gifts, it stopped him. And as you know, you give food to men, it changes everything. So she was humble. She stopped. And then she was able to communicate what she needed to communicate, and everything changed that day. Are you ready? Because one person understood communication properly. Communication can change your life. How do you know? Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. And I am convinced what we say changes everything. Now, what we say changes. I could come in here and browbeat you, as they would say, and yell at you and scorn you, and you'd walk away going, "Ooh, preacher, how long is he going to be here?" You know, and you can make rude comments. Probably all of us have had somebody say something, nicknames, you know, bad names have happened. Some of you, it still resonates in your head. Why? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I give you story after story of words and how words have affected people. But here's where I'm at. If they can affect us negative, can I tell you? They can affect us positive as well. One of the greatest dangers of social media, and by the way, if you're on social media and words affect you in a great way, you might want to get off. Why? People say all kinds of rude, crazy things that don't matter. Don't matter. You know, it's just one of those formats where you say whatever you want. You know, and some people that take those things to heart, don't do that. Please don't do that. You say, "Well, I can't help it." Yeah, you can. Don't turn it on. I mean, seriously, you know, like for me, I'm going to look at that and go, "Hey, that person's got their brain dead." You know, seriously, I'm like, okay. I mean, they're just saying stuff. So is that going to affect me? I mean, I'm not going to get all upset about it, but some people do. Why? Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. No, it does make a difference. In the same way, you can totally change somebody's life by saying the right thing, uplifting him, telling someone, "How much I'm praying for you today. I want you to know I care about you. I want you to know I'm thinking about you. I want you to know God loves you." I mean, I'm serious. It changes everything. What you say matters. Some of you right now, if we had testimony time, what your dad or your mom said to you growing up is still there. Good or bad. Good or bad. Yeah, you're still trying to overcome something from when you were a kid. If you're like me, I'm in my 50s. I couldn't imagine trying to overcome something, but I counsel this all the time. And somebody in their 50s trying to make mom or dad happy because of whatever they said early on. Can I tell you? That may never happen. And I'm sorry you had to go through that, but let's learn a valuable lesson. Are you ready? Words matter. Words matter. We begin with the charity principle. Can I remind you of what we just talked about? Oh, they went past it, but you already got it written down. When dealing with communication, presentation, interpretation, reception is important. It's important to learn how to interpret communication. And we just talked about the charity principle. So in other words, the way you do that, let's give people the benefit of the doubt with everything that we do. It's going to help tremendously. Now I'm going to give you four basic principles on communication. The first one is right content. Let's jump right into it. We'll walk down through here. Miss Brenda will put up answers for you as I talk. That'll be the best. But as I look at this story here and I think about the content, verses 23 of 1 Samuel 25 on down to about verse 32, she begins to just elaborate. And I love her wording. We won't go back and look at all of it. But I like verse 30 even, "And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee," talking about God, "and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord." And she's just elaborating all these really, really good things. And I thought about that, and here's the thing I want you to understand. She's telling him truth. And you need to understand something. Truth feeds the soul. Truth feeds the soul. Proverbs says this, chapter 10, verse 21, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." Proverbs 12:18, "There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." And Proverbs 15:4, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life." You know, truth feeds the soul. But speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, hey, your pastor does a good job with that. You realize he loves you, right? Yeah, he speaks. We've only been with him for a day, and he keeps speaking the truth everywhere he goes. So he's the same out there as he is in here, in case you're wondering. You know, and he's going to tell the truth. But you can I tell you what's good about that? Because he cares about you. Yeah, we try to avoid people that tell us the truth. Man, we need that. We need someone who's going to be honest with us. You know, that is a part of love as well. And the Bible says that, speak the truth in love. That truth is needed. It's necessary. What is said is important, folks. You can't miss that. If Abigail doesn't come and start edifying him and lifting him up, I mean, we've got a whole different story. We have a whole different story, but she does. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 4:29, I love it. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." Man, we've got to get better at this. I'm going to confess one of my weaknesses. It's a generation. texting is not my strong suit. I don't mind texting. I don't like long texts. I'd rather talk to you like this than ever send you a text. Okay? And if I send you a text, my texts are really short. I mean, it's like, okay, sure, fine, and thumbs up. That's what I do. I've been doing this for years. You know what I didn't know? That's offensive. I did not know that. So we have some interns a couple years ago, and we got a couple young ladies, our school teachers for our Christian school, and we had an intern as well to help with some summer stuff, and we brought in a couple guys from Heartland as well. And anyways, we're having lunch one day, and I walk around the corner to come in for lunch, and they're talking, and they're talking about texting, and one of them is talking about how scared he was of me because of my texts. And I'm like, I'm scared of what? Do not be afraid of me. You got that? Okay. And so I'm coming up to him, what? And one of the young ladies was brave enough to speak up, Miss Kayla. She goes, Pastor, yeah, you're texting. It's bad. I go, what do you mean bad? It's like they'd text me the other night, the two girls, and we know them well. They're like daughters. And they're like, hey, Pastor, can this guy come with us? You know, the intern over to your house. We invite him over for dinner. And I'm like, sure. And the whole time, they're like, does he want me to come? Is he upset that I'm coming? Is he just feel obligated that I'm coming? And I'm like, I just said, sure. If I said no, he's really, I don't want him or like him. That's different. But that's just what I do. So I'm sitting there, and they go, hey, you got to get better. So the other staff comes in that's been working with me for years. They go, oh, yeah, first year I was here, I thought Pastor was mad at me all the time. I'm like, well, now I'm mad. Okay, what? That's not even my personality, okay? I'm like, what are you doing? But that was a problem is, see, I don't text good because I don't want to take the time. So finally, I had to start taking the time. Hey, can we come over? Sure. Comma. You are always welcome at our house. You are wonderful. Happy face emoji. You can tell how excited I was to do that. I finally made one of those instant ones. I made a really long, long text. And so all I have to do is hit K. And it does this text. Did that for a year. Broke my staff for that, I'll tell you right now. But I'll be honest, I had to change because I realized, man, I was creating a uncertainty and they were kind of afraid and everything. And that's not our culture and who we are. And I'm like, oh, I never want to do that. So I was like, man, I got to adapt. Sometimes they have to adapt. Some of you grew up, you guys didn't talk much, you didn't discuss stuff. I always talk about the elephant in the room. You know, we don't talk about the elephant. The illustration of that for kids is that there's like an elephant sitting in your house and nobody says, why is there an elephant in our house? You know, and you just go around, hey, could you pass the chips? You know, we just ignore it. And some of you grow up that way. Can I tell you, it can be very dangerous. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow, but content matters in the midst of this, of confronting it. What you say matters because life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let me help you. We got to practice edifying. You know, you can discipline and be edifying. You can. This is going to hurt you really bad, but you'll be happy in the morning. No, there's other ways to do it. But you can. I mean, you don't have to be yelling at your kids, screaming at them, you little brats, I can't believe. No. But you can still say, hey, we've got to go through some discipline, but I love you and I'm for you. We got to make some changes here. You can do that. The way you talk to your kids, the way we talk to one another, I'm telling you, we can be destroying them inside and not even realizing it. God says words are powerful. I mean powerful. As believers, we got to understand this. We got to be loving first and foremost, but second, I think we got to start learning to communicate better. So content matter as we look at this. Let's go to the next one real quick. Besides content, right context. Oh, yeah, I'm going to back up. You keep going here to context. I saw something. It's weird to me, but I'm going to say it anyways. In this content, we're going to get into a little bit of how to have a good fight tomorrow. And these things kind of go together. But you put in there cursing. I get some of you came from you're still growing as a Christian. How's that? But the Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You're not going to get very far cussing at one another. You want to talk about bad communication. When we cuss, basically what we're saying is, I don't want to try. I'm mad, I'm angry, and rather than taking the time to really display love and think through a word that's edifying to you, I'm going to throw out of anger some word, whatever it is. And can I tell you? I get that you're a new believer, but can I tell you, you need to change that. It's unbiblical. It's unbiblical. I see in the Christian realm this more than we need to. We laugh at it. And I'll tell you, we love people. If you were to cuss in front of me, I'd still love you. We had a young lady at church. She's a millennial. She's probably about 28. And her boyfriend coming with mom and dad and all that kind of fun stuff. And she's out in the forest. She goes, "Ah, Pastor, I love your preaching. You're the best ever." And then we were here last week, and you weren't there. And I looked at my husband, and I said, and she cusses, blank. And we're in the foyer. I'm standing right there. You should have seen his face. He's like, "You say, what'd you do?" "Not a thing. Not a thing." I do. She's growing. She's growing. You know, I'm glad she's coming. I'm glad she's learning. So I want you to understand my heart. Not against you. But can I tell you, as Christians, shedding the light, I get the culture we live in, and that's acceptable nowadays. But let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We got to grow in that, okay? So we want to remove those things because they're damaging. They're hurtful words is what they are. So let's get into context now. Right context is important. A word fitly spoken. I love this. The context matters. Anyways, when I looked at this, look at 1 Samuel 25, 34 and 35. I'll read it for you. We stopped there. We didn't finish this, but I want to read this. This is David now responding to Abigail. He begins in verse 32, and he talks about, "Blessed be thy advice," in verse 33, which is so good. But in verse 34, he says, "For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely," guess what? "Everybody dies." Are you with me? In other words, not only does content matter, what you say matters, when you say matters. Now, when you say it. If she's like, "You know what? I don't want to take care of this tonight. It's a busy night. Got a lot going on." Her boys are all dead. All of her male servants that she loves, no, they're all dead. Everybody dies. Why? Timing matters, folks. Timing matters. That verse there from Proverbs, the word fitly spoken. Fitly, it's at the right time. We don't always say things right, but at the right time. Stepping in at the right time. I tell people all the time at funerals, you get an impression. Listen, you get an impression about somebody that you know. Folks, we've got cell phones. We got texting. Man, send them a text. I cannot tell you how often God will give me an impression about somebody. And I know they're going through a difficult time, but the timing of it is only from God. We had a gentleman and his wife committed suicide. Bad situation. A lot of medical history. Good couple. I mean, seriously, I never would have suspected it. I'm serious. Never would have suspected it. A few months ago, it just blew us away. We're like, when I got that phone call, I was shocked. Shocked. She'd gone through a lot of medical issues, been going through that for about a year, year and a half. Extreme pain and everything. And the whole family was shocked. And the funeral's over, people are gone, and of course we pray for him all the time, but I remember going, I just got this impression for Brother Mike. I just need to text him. So it was just real simple. "Hey, Mike, thank you much today, praying." And it's not too long afterwards, he's like, "Pastor, you have no earthly idea how much I needed that right now." And here's just what I've learned. It's not something special. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you don't have to know what's going on. You don't have to know what's going on. I cannot tell you how often I have done that over the years, that God has just oppressed me, and I really don't know what's going on. I'm just like somebody in the church. If your name is coming to my head, I'm sending you a text, thinking about you, praying about you. Timing matters. But if I go, I'll text them later. I got that, but I'm a little busy right now. It doesn't take that long. But timing is important, is it not? We talk about people dying and going to hell, and I tell you, there's people that when God says, "Hey, you need to go talk to them, witness to them," we probably ought to do it. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. One of the greatest regrets I see from Christians is that. And I got a young man in our church, Kelly Bay, coming and had his uncle was in the hospital. Didn't know if he was saved. Thought he might be saved, but didn't know. And he was working, just busy. And sure enough, uncle passes away. It was like 3 days, and he just didn't go. And the fourth day, he passes away. And Kelly comes to my office literally the day after that, just bawling. Saying, "Pastor, I blew it. Blew it, man." And I tried to comfort him the best I could, but here was the thing. Timing. His uncle may or may not have accepted the Lord. But for Kelly's sake, it was very difficult because he knew he had the impression, and he let it go. And can I tell you, timing matters. Let me give you some lightness here. It's kind of like with men. Like, I like sports. I don't know how many guys like sports. You must, because you have a lot of say. One, that's not bad. It's not like watching basketball, football, but it takes time. You know, you're watching a couple hour basketball game, and my wife, maybe at that time, comes in and says, "Honey, can we talk?" My thought is, no. I mean, it's like 3 minutes left in the game. That is really the game. You could really miss most of the rest of the game, but you can't miss that part of the game. And the wife's like, "Hey, can we talk? It's important." And then I don't, early on in our relationship, it was difficult because there wasn't DVR. Okay? You couldn't pause stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's a difficult place to be. And she's coming in, and you're going, "Ah." And she's like, "What's more important, this game or me?" That's a tough one. See, because we're in this thing for life. That game's over in like 3 minutes. You know, maybe 15, you know, with all the timeouts and everything. You know, so I'm not thinking we're going to break up. I'm thinking the game right now. You know why? Timing. You know, it's funny. When you decide to talk, timing will be so important. When you do it matters. I'm not a morning person. Let me explain that. I was up early this morning. I'm up early almost every morning, somewhere between 4 and 6. We wake up. And you say, why? We're old. And those of you that are still young, it's coming. Now, I don't want to wake up. I would gladly sleep till noon, okay? I would praise Jesus to sleep till 10. I would be ecstatic for 9, not even 8. If I get home at midnight or 1, it's still getting up. This body's like, hello. But here's the thing. I don't like you at 6 in the morning. You say, where'd that come from? Oh, it's coming from the heart. I don't want to talk to you. Okay, I'm up. I'm getting a cup of coffee. I need quiet time. I'm an Energizer bunny from 9 to 9. After 9, I turn into a pumpkin. Okay, and before 9, it is. I mean, like, tomorrow morning, we start at 9. Praise Jesus. Well, you'll be safe. At 8:30 at breakfast, I'm going to fake it and be nice to you. That's what's going to happen tomorrow, okay? I don't want to be, okay? But I'm a guest, so I'm going to make this, okay? But my wife, seriously, eyes open, feet hit the ground. Hello, world! Why do opposites attract? I don't get it. I mean, she's ready to talk, discuss the world. Again, before cell phones, this has saved so many marriages. My wife is like, 7 o'clock in the morning. And no lie, it's flying by. You know, I'm at work. Seriously, I remember days at work going, I think I'm married and my wife said something today. Nah. I get home, walk in the door. Did you get the bread? Going for it right now. I mean, that wasn't like a once in a while occasion. You know, so I told you this morning, it's like, yeah, you probably did. Okay, I'm going to give you that. I don't think you're lying to me, but I'm telling you, there's literally no recollection in my mind. I'm serious. There's not even you saying that. Do I go, oh, yeah. It's still, nope. So here's the thing. My wife had to learn. Man, talking to me early in the morning, serious conversation, it's not wise. 9 o'clock at night, she's gone. It's pajama time for my wife right now. She'd be in pajamas at 6 if she could get away with it. 8 o'clock at our house, gone. Out of the front room, in the back room, reading, pajamas on, in the bed, dog on her lap. She's in heaven. I mean, no, that's the way it works, okay? I don't go in there at 8 o'clock going, hey, you want to talk about some deep marriage stuff? You say, why? She's probably going to go, nope. Now, wait a minute. Folks, timing matters. Word fitly, spoken at the right time. Content is important. But when you say it matters, too. Folks, we got to understand that what we say matters, when we say matters. We got to be cognizant. If Abigail doesn't get this right, we have a different story here. A totally different story. So I look at this timing, and then I look at the Proverbs 26, 4 and 5, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be likened to him. And then it says, answer a fool according to his folly. And I love that, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And I always say this, timing. There's a time for everything. There's a time not to respond, and there's a time to respond. And we got to get better at learning that. We have to get better at learning that. So this story goes on, gives us our third principle. We're almost done. Third principle. This is so fast. Right compromise is important. I can't believe as an independent Baptist I'm saying this. Right compromise is important. In our story of 1 Samuel 25, 23, it says, when Abigail saw David, she hasted, jumped off, pulled out her sword, said, you and I, buddy, let's get after it. No, she fell down before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Wow. Okay. There's a warrior, the next king, coming with 600 mighty men to kill your family. And her response is flat on her face. You know how hard that is? You know what the Bible tells us as Christians to do? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. You know what we need in our relationships? Humility. We have way too much of the world in us. I'm a man, man. I'm about anybody. You're going to respect me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's back up the truck real quick. Jesus, most powerful man ever. Humble. Humble. Okay? Moses. You want to talk about a powerful man? Humble. Meekest man on the planet. I mean, we need to start coming in with humility. I look at this stuff, and I start thinking with communication, we got to learn some compromise. You say, what is compromise? I love Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath. My wife and I, this is going to surprise you because we're preachers, and preachers never in their wives ever argue. We don't fight because basically we're perfect, and so we don't do those things. And exactly, lying 100%. Yeah, that's ridiculous to even think that way. When we were first married, though, we would get into our disagreements. And this verse became very important. I did not realize when we got married, I married a yeller. Not an old yeller, just a yeller. That's a very important distinction. And which surprised me because she came from a pastor's home. And I remember one of our first arguments, she's turning red, yelling at me. And I'm like, whoa, what is going on here? And I'm like, whoa, okay, chill out. We just need to talk. We're just going to talk here. Talk. You want to talk? Oh, I'll talk to you, buddy. I'm like, oh. This was confusing to me. And so I'm like, okay, well, we're married and everything. And I'm like, I got to figure this out. I got this yeller in my hand. So I went to the Bible. That's what you do. You know, the Bible has all the answers. That's cool. It says a soft answer, truth, way, wrath. I go, bingo. I will respond softly to her. She will calm down. Jackpot. Next argument, voice is raising, got her. Pulled out the old trusty sword. It's okay, babe. We're just going to talk through this as mature people. That didn't turn out the way I thought it would. It's very confusing to me because the Bible's always right. And I'm like, I soft answer, truth, way, wrath. I don't know what to do. A fool's lips enter into contention. His mouth calls for strokes. Only by pride, Proverbs 13:10 says, comes contention. With the well-advised is wisdom. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I got a soft answer. And I got to come in with no pride. I'm like, man. Well, this went on for a while. And then finally I realized, God's always right. It's a very key principle here. God's always right. So I literally just continued to not raise my voice, continue to just talk. And it took over 2 years. I didn't puff up in pride. I didn't say I'm getting tired of this. Why? The charity principle. Suffereth long. I knew that if I come at her in pride, only by pride cometh more contention. And I said, the only thing I can do is be humble, listen. I just took it and listened, responded softly. And finally she's like, well, if he's not going to fight with me, I guess we just have to talk. I literally don't remember the day it happened. I just remember one day, you know, at some disagreement, I'm like, we're talking. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, it's great. You know, God's word works. Here's the problem, even as we're going through this. There's no magic button here. I sold out a magic wand several years ago. Okay? You're not going to walk out here and go, I'm going to try the Proverbs 51. It'll work tomorrow. No, I want you to know all these principles will work, but you have to start learning them and making them life principles. And when you do, it will change you first. It'll change your relationships. But one of the things you have to have is this ability to compromise. We are married for life. Here's what this means. There's a lot of, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You were right. You know, I was wrong. You know, things like that. So hard to say. A lot of it. You know, from men and the women. I see some relationships, men will say, she's never apologized a day in her life. That's not an honorable statement, women. It's really not. It's not like, that's right, I'm always right. It's like, yeah. Nobody's always right. I was wrong twice. Anyways, you see what I'm saying? Nobody is. Nobody's always right. Okay? The fact of the matter is, if you don't have compromise, if she doesn't bow, if she doesn't humble herself, changes everything. Some of you got situations, but you refuse to humble yourself, to go to that person and to talk about it, and you're waiting for them to do it. And can I tell you, it's probably going to be a long wait. Now, I get it. Now, listen. I'm going to bring this up right now. I get there are some situations, before we go too far, that aren't ever going to work. I'm not foolish. Matter of fact, it's even in this story. Nabal never changes. He never changes. But please answer me this. How did Abigail get such a sweet spirit, communicate so well with such a man? Can I tell you? She did it, and God blessed her. The center of the story is God blessed her. He put the story in. Of all the stories you could put in, he put this story in there for multiple reasons. But one is how to communicate and solve conflicts. And on the communication level, you come in with compromise. You say things in the right way, context, with the right content. It changes things. Stopped an angry man from wiping out her family. And no, what's interesting is it didn't change Nabal. But God says, I'll take care of that. Do you see the principle? You and I still have to do what's right. No, it won't work on everybody. Why? Because there's two parties involved. The other party may not respond. But that doesn't negate your and I's responsibility to do what the Bible says. And can I tell you, it's your only option. No. It's your only option. There's not another way out there. You do it God's way, and God says, you know what? A lot of people will turn around, and it's going to fix things. But if someone's got the wrong heart, don't worry. I'll take care of it in time. I'll take care of it in time. You still be who you need to be. And so I love this right compromise. Only by pride, we talked about this, cometh contention. I'm convinced that there's a lot of contention in our homes because of pride. Again, we don't want to humble. We don't want to say, I'm sorry. And I want to tell you, folks, my wife and I, we I don't know how many years ago we decided this, and we just have one more point. We're in this for life, okay? Some of you are making this so hard. We'll get into a little bit tomorrow, but marriage is difficult. You do know that, right? And I'm going to tell you why. This is why marriage is hard. Are you ready? She's a woman. So I need to know. Okay. And I'm a man. We're complete opposites. Praise God for that. Amen. I don't know what the joke is. If God's just having fun, I can't tell you, okay? Because we're complete opposites and all this kind of stuff. But I think it's more God knows what we need. And learning to navigate that takes time. That's why he left us all these principles that we just ignore. So he puts us together. We're like, oh, it's just going to work. Yeah, good luck with that. Because like, if you want to study your Bible and get into Proverbs and stories like this and learn how to communicate and take the time, you'll have a wonderful life. Because didn't I remind you? This is for life. That's what God said. I don't care what the world says. This is for life. I don't want to be those old couples. I hope if you're here, I'm so sorry. But you ever see those old couples are out at a restaurant? They don't talk to each other. They're sitting there like this. They do say something that's kind of harsh. Pass me that. They walk out like, you know, they're so mad at life. You know, probably hit your car on the way out, you know. I mean, it's bad. You know, they're nipping at each other. And, you know, don't walk that way. Don't do that. Like a little chihuahua. But anyways, I'm like going, we look at each other. I don't want that. I like to be happy. I don't know about you. I don't want to come home to misery. I don't want to come home to a contentious wife. No offense, I don't. I really don't. She doesn't want to come home to an angry man. What are we doing? You say, well, we don't know what to do. Learn to talk. But it's hard. Mm-hmm. We don't know how. Right. That's why we have this lesson. Yeah, will it be better tomorrow? Not even close. But if you start taking these principles and putting them in practice one at a time, I'm telling you, are you ready? We love to be together. We're old now. And we like it. Okay? We talk about old stuff. I'm so sorry. You're too young for this. But we do. I mean, it's like, oh, my back hurts, and doctor's appointments we got to go to, and all the fun stuff, you know, but we love being around each other. We love going on walks together. We love traveling. Oh, we love that. We're in this for life. I don't want her to be on the other side of the house, me on the other side of the house. And we don't want to talk, and there's tension, or then the kids are gone. We're done. No. Kids have been gone for a long time. We had kids early, kick them out. Why? For the grandkids. Pay attention. Okay? Grandkid. Man, I'm just saying, listen. You can be in a tense time right now. It's okay, but you can also get through it. You can. You can. Okay? God gives us principles, and he'll help us, but it takes work. But if you apply it, I'm telling you, this stuff works. And part of that is this. Men, from the pride aspect, hey, we got to humble ourselves. Learn to love our wives, listen to our wives. Make things work. quite honest, a lot of times they do communicate better than we do. They do have better content than we do. Don't be so prideful. Your wife knows you more than anybody else. Nobody knows you like she does, and vice versa. So quit putting the walls up. Start communicating the way God designed it. Let God do a work, okay? One last part to communication. These are the four pillars of communication besides, and that's right control. I'm going to end with this. We'll let you go home early tonight so that you'll come back. Right control. In verse 36, Abigail, as I told you, goes home. She does not tell Nabal right away because he's drunk, and I love that. She realized you don't talk to a drunk man. She'd taken that stuff, given it, saved her family, and I love that. And by the way, such good principles there. Ladies, if you're married to a lost man or a man that doesn't care about Jesus, or maybe you're not married yet, can I tell you, first off, if you're not married yet, don't marry the lost person. I'll help you real quick. This was probably an arranged marriage because this is a sweet lady. This is a godly lady, okay? So they had arranged marriages back there. It's probably out of her control, but you have control. But if you are married, stay with them. I'm not, you don't divorce. Well, preacher, you said, and I did not say that. But if you stay with them, I'm telling you, you want to stay with them and learn this. But here's the thing. She understood this. You don't speak to an angry man. You don't rile him up. That's foolishness. So she waited. She waited. And when he was sober, then she explained everything that she had done. He still wasn't happy, but she had to wait and she had to control herself. Now, I like that for this reason. Proverbs tells us as well. Proverbs 10:19. A couple good verses you can write down. And then Proverbs 13:3. In 10:19, it says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. I wonder if she would have spoken up that night. I wonder how often she was beat. I wonder how often. I wonder if she goes in that night and says something just to get off her chest and say, you almost killed my boys. What happens? But in wisdom, she's like, no, I'm going to wait till he's sober, take the best opportunity. She controlled her lips, because he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. I'm going to give you a couple thoughts here. Number one, or however it is on your notes, you don't have to share everything you know. I don't know where we get this, that because we know something, we have to say it. Matter of fact, if you read what I just read to you, the Bible says the exact opposite. I'm not talking about lying. That's what we're talking about. As a pastor, we get so much information, it'll blow your mind. The good news for my congregation is I have a bad memory. They don't have to worry about me saying anything because I'm probably not going to remember. And the good news about that, in a couple of years, I don't remember their bad lifestyle and what they went through. I know they probably think I do, but I don't even see them that way. Sometimes the testimony time, I'm like, oh yeah, Rob was that way. I forgot about that. You know, and I don't. But we get a lot of information. We got to just keep it quiet. I find out when people are pregnant before they want it announced. Ooh, you do not announce that ahead of time. You know, but you do. So I've learned that technique. There's some things you don't say. There's some things I don't tell my wife. Oh, did you just give permission not to tell your wife stuff? Yeah, I'm a preacher. Let me explain. All these bad stories I hear, I can handle because God's equipped me for that. She can't. You come in having an affair, I'm going to counsel you through it, love you. She's going to kill you. If you're a man, she will hunt you down. Okay, her prayer will, oh dear God, may he die like Nabal tomorrow. So I didn't know that early on, but I mean, she's getting mad at people. You know, and I'm like, what in the world? I'm like, okay, I can't tell those things. There's no responsibility for that. Matter of fact, people think she knows everything. She goes, did your husband tell you? She's like, no. You say, why? She's also said, I don't want to know everything. Why? Because it affects her spirit. So I know it's going to affect her spirit, so I'm not going to go dump that on her. Okay, I'm not going to do that. That's something you have to learn in your relationship. So I don't lie to her. If she's going to ask me point blank, I'm like, do you want to hear this? You know, because I can't lie to you, but not sure you want to hear this. Are you with me? Now listen, you don't have to tell everything. I am blown that we think, I got to just dispel everything that I know. And the Bible says, just because you have knowledge, it's not your. So you may know something about somebody in the church. You don't have to tell anybody. Where does that come from? We're not people's judges. Well, I know about a Larry. That's nice. I'm sure you're praying for him. Amen? You know, everybody would like to know because we're gossipers. But the reality is, you don't have to say that. Do you know about Larry? That's a nice leading question. What about Larry? You said, no, and I don't need to. That should be our responses.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to back up a little bit. We don't need to know, folks. I'm going to help you real quick. You have to learn your spouse, learn your family. I love little kids. Come on, there's some things you don't teach kids until they're ready. I heard my associate say this, and little kids start asking those difficult questions. You say, what do you do? Hey, a great response. He's like, listen, you know, sometimes we go on vacation and you can't carry your suitcase. It's too heavy for you. Well, I'm going to carry this suitcase for you right now. When you get a little bit older, I'll tell you, you're not going to be able to handle it right now. I'm like, I love that. It's like, right, when you get a little older, we'll explain to you. And then you do. But they're not always ready. Maybe they saw something on TV or a kid said something and now they're wanting to know. Why? I mean, that's how we operate. I don't share everything because I love people. And I want to edify and help them. So I got to tell you, be careful. And don't take, that's a very delicate lesson because you can take it too far. Preacher said I could lie. That's not what we said. Yeah, Bob was very clear not to be liars. I'm just saying, I know people that like to dispel everything that they know. And can I tell you, it falls more under the spell of gossip than it does anything else. And under that, I'm just telling the truth. Well, folks, just because you can doesn't mean you should. If you're at my church, you'd hear that statement about a dozen times a year. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you know something can say something doesn't mean it should be said. Let me give you a couple more, and we're done. Thanks for putting them up there. But the more you speak, the more you will offend. I probably offend and sin more than anybody here because I speak all the time. And I just want to give you real quick when to be quiet. And I'm going to give you three quick points of when you do need to be quiet and basically not dispel everything you know. Number one, when you're angry. I don't think we should talk when we're angry. I think we need to get that right. You know, we tend to say things we're going to regret when we're angry. Number two, when you have nothing edifying to say. Folks, if it's not going to be edifying, and like I said, I believe even, you know, I deal a lot with people, and I know your pastor has, being in the corporate world, you've got to talk to people and even firing people and so forth and correcting people. You can do it in an edifying way. Now, it can be difficult sometimes, but you don't have to demean them and attack them as a person. You can deal with the situation and go, hey, your performance isn't where it needs to be. Good person, you're going to have to grow in this, and we'll be praying for you, and we have to let you go. You know, and I know that hurts, and I got that, but part of the responsibility of my job. I mean, there's a way you can do it without going in, going, you're bad, you're horrible, you're also a bad person, get out of my face. Okay? You don't have to do that. So when it's not edifying, I'm going to keep quiet until I can find a way. And then number three is you have up there, when you don't have all the facts. Proverbs, I don't know if they put it up there, but Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. When I was younger, I always done a lot of counseling. My associate does a lot more now today just because of my schedule. But I always like to help people solve their problems, Pastor T. And taking the Bible. The problem is, I got to the point where I thought I knew it all the time. So I'm about to let them talk for about 10 minutes and I'm jumping in there. And then they give me the rest of the story. So I give all this advice. It wasn't this bad advice, but it didn't really apply particularly because I jumped in too quick. And I had to learn that I need to get all the facts. I've learned also sometimes, man, you hear something and I'm getting ready to get upset about it. I'm like, wait, stop. I need to hear the whole story. Parents, sometimes you make a judgment on your child because you haven't heard the whole story. Take your time. Get the whole story. You say, why? Man, I've just learned if I wait and get all the facts and I pray about it, I can make a lot better decision. A lot better decision. Now, I know this a lot, but here's the core of it. Are you ready? Did you get it? Words matter. If you get nothing else, I want you to see. These are details. These are four pillars for that you're going to have to work on. Okay? Nobody's born good at this. Nobody's born good at this. Okay? If you're a good communicator, it's because you've practiced a lot. You've studied a lot. But can I tell you, we need it. Hey, you know one of the great themes of your church? Each one, reach one, teach one. You think if you could learn how to communicate better, you'd reach more people? I think you would. We're gonna meet a gospel goal. You want a happy relationship? You think if we got a little bit better at communicating with one another and grew at that over the years, we'd be happier in our relationship? I think we would. You think maybe we could grow and teach our kids just a little bit better if we learned how to communicate? You don't think God knew that, so he put Proverbs in 1 Samuel 25. Now, in fact, you really want to learn? Go through Proverbs. There is verse after verse on how to communicate. We'll take the time to write them down. I used to, when I was younger, every day I read a Proverbs for years. Every day. went to Bible college to learn wisdom, learn how to communicate to people. And I'm telling you, those verses have saved me in so many ways. Church, I'm going to stop now, but I want to help you. If we're going to grow and be enriched in our spiritual life, we can't ignore our words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You have the ability to lift up and change your relationship with the people around you by what you say, or you can totally destroy them. Totally destroy them. May we be the people who bring life and light instead of tearing people down. It'd be good. Amen. I appreciate your patience. These are the two lessons tonight. I expect credit for being 45 minutes early. Just to let you know, it's not 9 o'clock, so I do expect bonus points for that. That can come in the form of you showing up tomorrow for the bonus day. But as you can see, we're not going to be real long, but these truths, I hope, will be a blessing to you. So let's pray.